Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My pleasure this morning to be joined by Russell Anderson. He is the pastor at Ellenmore United Methodist Church, and they have a big deal coming up here over the next week or so. Two weeks, I guess, right? Russell, tell me what exactly is going on with the Ellenmore United Methodist Church over the next 2 weeks.
Over the next 2 weeks, Ellenmore is, first we're having on October 6th. That's a Thursday evening, a little bit different evening, but it's right before homecoming in Fairfield, and a really good time to everybody get all pumped up for homecoming.
Sure.
And we are having a gospel sing.
Okay.
We are bringing the Blackwood Legacy. This is a branch off of the great Blackwood Brothers that were around for years. And they're coming to Ellenmore United Methodist Church that evening, October 6th. That's a Thursday at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And they're coming from Nashville, Tennessee. They have been singing together since 2001 and have been all over the country.
How about that? Now, this is not just for Ellenmore members, right?
No, this is for anybody in the community, anybody in the listening area. If you love great gospel singing, come and be with us. And this is free of admission. You can come and just sit and enjoy and feel the Spirit of God and have a great evening. It's not just all seriousness. And
sure.
That we're going to have some fun. They're a very light group. We're going to enjoy visiting together, fellowshipping together, and have a great evening.
Well, that's great. Well, we're going to talk a little bit later on in the show with a member of the Blackwood Legacy, with Paul Secord. Now, I'm probably pronouncing the name wrong, but whenever there was a hockey player named Al Secord.
Okay.
S-E-C-O-R-D. It's the same spelling. How does Paul like
that? That sounds good to me. That's the way I would have said it.
Before we call the guy, I'd kind of like to know if it was something different.
I hope it's right. We can always be corrected, right?
Yeah, that's right. He can always tell us we're wrong. But, yeah, we'll be talking here in a little bit with Mr. Secord. And but after that one, Ellenmore is, I did not realize that it had been around for over 100 years. What's the story on that? Ellenmore, what's coming up?
Ellenmore is having their 115th anniversary.
Wow. My neighbor across the street goes, by the way. That's how I know whenever you guys have services.
Okay.
Angie's going. I can see Angie.
That's
going.
Right. That's
Angie
right.
Jenkins is going all
yeah,
the time.
She told me you live across the street
yeah.
from her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And play your tube out in the yard.
Not that often, but often enough that she would know that. Tell me about 115 years for Ellenmore Methodist Church, United Methodist Church.
It is.
What's the story?
The story of where Ellenmore came from?
Yeah.
Ellenmore is a very different name. You don't see many churches with a person's name on them.
Yeah, it's usually like Little Prairie or some
Ebenezer.
Something from the Bible, maybe.
Right,
or
Bethel.
Right.
Whenever you tell somebody that where you're from, and you'll say Ellenmore, and they'll put it into one name, like
sure.
Ellenmore.
Uh-huh.
But actually, this is a name of a little girl.
See, now this, I never knew this. You don't see Billy Graham. Of all the people who would think would have a church named after themselves, it'd be somebody like that.
Right, right.
Ellenmore was a little girl from Fairfield or from this
Fairfield.
Area? Really, tell me about her.
Ellenmore was a little girl back in the late 1800s.
Uh-huh.
And at the time that she was a little girl, there were no churches on the west side of Fairfield.
Okay.
So three churches went together and started a mission there.
Okay.
That was the garment district at the time where all the sewing and everything was done.
Probably had the Cambridge courthouses and all the smaller shed type of buildings where folks were living.
Yes, yes. And she would see a lot of people at that time, a lot of people walked. Didn't have cars much
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
And she would see a lot of kids that weren't able to go to church because their church wasn't close enough. And she said, you know, it would really be nice if there was a place that children could go to Sunday school. And that yeah. was her main goal, just Sunday school.
Yeah.
To learn.
Yeah.
And she didn't live very much longer.
How old was she at the time?
That I do not know.
Okay.
But she wasn't a very big girl. Because the picture that we have of her, I would say, is probably 6 to 7 years old.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
And they have a shoe also. We have a famous shoe.
No kidding.
Yes. It was given by her mother in 1950-something when her mother passed away. Her mother lived that time in Lawrenceville.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
She gave it back to the church. She'd kept it all those years. And so we have a little shoe.
If it's 115 years since the development of the church, I mean, Ellen Moore would have been around in 1901, or maybe that's when the church was formed.
The church actually itself formed as a mission.
Okay.
In 1901.
Okay.
They started meeting. Their first meeting was in August of 1897. That was their very first Sunday school.
Wow. All
right. They met in 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and what amazes me is how hard it is to get people nowadays, because of the lifestyle we lead, to go to church.
In an afternoon.
They had 62 people in the afternoon show up for Sunday school.
Is that right?
That is just amazing.
It wasn't a very big town back then either.
No, it wasn't. But so, it was all that was going on.
So they started that on, well, the west side of town.
On the west side of town. And Ellen Moore, to me, was what I've heard was started as a blue-collar mission for people that worked for a living.
Right. Is it in the same – what did it start in the same place the church is now?
Very close. Very close. There was a house, and I don't remember the name. I didn't bring the name of the house that they met in the first time. And they met there for about a year, and then they built a small church close to the area of where the church is now.
Mm-hmm.
The second church was actually built where the farmer's store was, where CVS is now.
Oh, okay. Okay, just across 7th Street.
Yes. And a really neat thing was whenever they tore down the farmer's store, one of the walls is from the original church that was on that lot.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. That is.
You know, I
got to
tell you, though, having shopped in a farmer store, that's not surprising at all. It seemed like they might have an original wall from a 1915 or something like that.
That's true.
A 1915 church. Okay, so how did little Ellen Moore influence this, presumably, the parsonage or the members of the church back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. How did she come to become the name or eponymous with the church?
Whenever she died, her parents took some money, and they also got some donations from a few other people. Of course, at that time, it didn't take hundreds of thousands of dollars. It took a few thousand dollars to build a church.
Right.
So the first church was built and was dedicated in 1901. And that all came from money that she started, her parents started, because of her dream.
And she had made it known, and had she started collecting funds for the mission for that type of thing? Or
it was after she passed away.
Did she?
They were just fulfilling a dream of hers.
Didn't know if it was a long illness or not or anything like that. What was it?
No, it was just something that a lot of kids back then died from. Like weird things that we don't die from today.
Diphtheria.
Pneumonia, whooping cough.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, something that we cure today with an antibiotic.
Yeah,
something
that we never think about because they'll get a shot for something at 6 months old.
Right.
And so how old was she when she passed? Do you know?
In her before her teens. She was 6, 7 years old.
That is interesting to me that the organization has continued on a celebration of not even a founder of the church, just the little girl whose dream that was. Mm-hmm. How has the organization continued to celebrate that, I guess?
For years, the church has been known as a mission, or it started out as a mission.
Mm-hmm.
But as all churches, our mission is to reach out to people.
Yeah.
And with her desire of that of children has always been something to reach out to children in the community. That has always been the mission of Ella Moore, is to encourage children and to reach out them, to give them the education of why and who Jesus Christ was.
Tell me a little bit about, I was trying to think, how do you how do you pass her name along or let the kids know who she was in as part of the teaching of your church? Because I got to admit, I've been inside the church before, but I've never heard who Ellen Moore was. That's okay. A first on me.
Okay. Really, it isn't something as a teaching of the church. It's just a legacy. A lot of churches have tradition, and tradition is a very important thing to churches.
Right.
And so this is her tradition that we go and we use as something of why we are there.
Right. Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm talking with Russell Anderson. He's the Reverend Russell Anderson from the Ellen Moore United Methodist Church, and we're talking about their celebration coming up of 115 years as a church, as well as this non-denominational community event coming up next week, next Thursday, October 6th. When we come back, we're going to talk with Mr. Secord, Paul Secord from Blackwood Legacy, and get a little bit more on the background of those folks and what's going to be going on next week. You are listening to The Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. It's 928. It's 64 degrees. And I'm joined by Russell Anderson. He is the Reverend and Pastor at it's the Ellen Moore United Methodist Church here in Fairfield. And coming up next week, next Thursday, October 6th, at 7 o'clock, they're going to put on it's a non-denominational community event with free admission, and an outstanding gospel singing group is going to be there, the Blackwood Legacy Quartet. And I am joined on the phone here, if you're still there, joined on the phone here by Paul Secord. Paul, can you hear me?
Yeah, man, I got you loud and clear.
Great. Good talking to you. Thanks very much for joining Russell and I today. Hey, have you ever been to Fairfield?
You know, I think I have been to Fairfield, Illinois before. At the very least, I've driven through there. I went to school right outside of Chicago at Wheaton College. And so I've been through Illinois a number of times, and I'm fairly certain I might have even sung in Fairfield.
That's pretty cool. Well, what the different singing groups have you been in? Because I'm looking at your bio here, and you just recently joined the, recent 5 years have been in the Blackwood Legacy Group.
Right. Well, before that, I was music director for a big church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and served there for several years, and that was a great place to be. I sang for Disney for a few years down in Orlando, Florida. That was also an amazing experience. And before that, the other singing groups I was with were mostly college groups, so college choirs and college singing groups.
Tell me a little bit about the Blackwood legacy. I understand it's it was formed by Rick Price, and he sang with the legendary Blackwoods, right?
Right, that's right. He sang and toured with them for over 20 years. And then in 1999, when Cecil Blackwood passed away, Rick Price was in the group at that time, and he was actually helping Cecil run the group. And so Rick then formed Blackwood Legacy with Chris Blackwood and a couple of the other old band members to essentially keep the tradition and the legacy of that Blackwood music alive.
What is the what kind of music are we going to hear on next Thursday night? Do you guys play instruments, or do you have background music to you, or is it all just straight a cappella, or what's the story?
You know what? We do all of those things, so you're not wrong on any front.
Well, good.
You nailed it all the way across the board. We do a cappella arrangements, like some fresh new arrangements of songs that you know and love. We also have like live piano and sometimes guitar, and we play those instruments. Three of us in the group actually play very well, and so we hand that task around. And also, we do some songs with backing tracks, tracks that we've had produced for us, so all of us can stand up front. And I would say, if I was to kind of quantify us, what we are, what people are going to hear, they will hear some of that, good old fashioned. Southern gospel music, but they will also hear some contemporary music. A couple of us are also country writers and singers, and I would say that we're pretty close to a gospel Rascal Flatts right now.
Really?
Where that's kind of the space our group is living in right now.
That's kind of fun. So you'll probably get a mandolin out there or something like that from time to time too, right?
Man, we every now and then we'll pull out an extra instrument. I don't know exactly what we have planned for this next tour. It might be a little more streamlined than that, but you can never be surprised by a mandolin on one of our stages.
How many shows do you folks play over the course of a year?
We'll do this year just short of 200.
Oh my goodness!
Back just a little bit. Yeah, so this year it'll be probably about 190 to 195 concerts, and then sometimes you sprinkle in some special events. But I think we're looking at on the books just shy of 200. And last year, I think, was just over 200. So we stay really busy. It's what we do full time, and we pour our heart and our souls into it.
Are you on tour at this time right now, or when? And when you go out on tour, how long are you typically on the road? What is the operation like?
Well, it's pretty much like this. All of us guys are from different parts of the country. Two of us are here in Nashville. We've all lived in Nashville at some point, but two of us are here in Nashville, and I'm in Nashville now, and we've got a guy that's from Spokane, Rick Price, the guy that founded the group. He's up in Detroit, and then we got a guy that's subbing in, singing with us from time to time. He's from Branson, Missouri. And so we will all fly out to one location. We have like a mini bus. We'll meet our bus out there, and we will tour for a couple weeks. And then we all fly back to our respective homes for 8, 10, or 12 days to recoup and knock out the honeydew list and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then we all fly back out on tour again. And so we'll do about 14 or 15 tours like that over the course of the year, and then we take some time off during the holidays.
Well, that's fascinating. So during that, say, two-week tour or however long tour, how many shows are you guys doing? Like you'll be in Fairfield on that Thursday. I'm assuming you're all over probably Southern Illinois or all over the area around that?
We are. We are. In fact, we start this tour. We're flying into Chicago, and we're making our way. The tour wraps up, I believe, in Tulsa. So over the course of a week and a half or 2 weeks, we will cover just about everything between.
Wow.
And we will do a concert every night. And two on Sundays, because we do a Sunday morning, then we drive to another location and do one on Sunday night. So it's 8 concerts a week when we're on the road. Every now and then we'll get a night off, but that's pretty rare.
Good grief, you're a busy man.
I do what I can, man, just trying to make a living. And also, we love what we do. We love singing for Jesus. We love singing music. We've all been making music our whole lives. And there's a special thing about the chemistry of this particular group that's unlike any other group I've ever been in.
What is the special thing about the chemistry? What I mean, it's just you guys get along better, or I mean, were there surely the you haven't been in some groups where we were backbiting and that kind of stuff?
No, that never happens.
No, never.
But I will say this, that when you get together with a group of guys to make music, there's all sorts of variables. Number one, how experienced they are, how good of singers and performers they are. Also, are they nice people?
Yeah.
And us, because we're a gospel group, do they like Jesus? Is that all right?
Yeah.
So when we factor all those things together, there's a unity and a bond in this group that's not like any other group I've ever been a part of. They're all like musicians and singers, especially at a super, super high level. We are all very open with one another, and we're great friends, and we stay in contact even when we're not on the road. In addition to that, we all have very, very similar passions, and we pack that together in this group, and we're getting some really amazing things done. It's super exciting to be a part of.
That's wonderful. I'm talking to Paul Secord. He's with the Blackwood Legacy Quartet. They're playing at the Eleanor United Methodist Church on Thursday, October 6th at 7 o'clock. It is a non-denominational community event. Admission is free. Paul, you mentioned you were formerly a featured singer at Disney World. What made you decide to leave Disney and the Disney organization and break out onto your own, into the world of the touring quartet like this?
Well, you know what? I had an epiphany. I had a moment.
Really?
I had just walked off stage where I was the band that I fronted at Disney, and we all shared many roles there. I don't want to make it sound like I was a superstar in that band, but it was a 5-piece group, and I was the front man and the MC and the host of that band whenever we would perform. We were kind of the house band for Disney's MGM Studios.
Okay.
And I remember one New Year's Eve, I stepped off stage, and we had just finished performing for 40,000 people.
Wow.
And it was amazing. I mean, we had pyro and everything as we were leading up to the New Year's Eve, kind of dropping of the ball celebration.
Right.
And as I left that stage, I went back to my dressing room and I was taking off, all my stage get up and everything. And I was walking back to my car, and I just had a little conversation with God. I was like, is this it? Have I made it? Or is there something more? Is there something more than this? Like after you've sung for 40,000 people, what's
sure.
the next step?
Sure.
Is it singing for 50,000 people? Does that feel so much different? But what I figured out in that moment was that there was something more that I had to give. And it wasn't necessarily reaching more people, but it was how I was reaching those people.
Right.
Now, I had a wonderful time at Disney. We sang rock and roll. That's just what we did. We sang everything from... Man, we sang everything from Queen to the Beatles.
Yeah.
We really did. And we did it well. And it was my ministry of joy, and I loved it. And I had some of the best friends in the world, guys that are still my best friends. But when I left that stage that night, I knew that there was just something different, something that had a little bit different heart to it that I needed to do. And it was back toward my roots, back toward those gospel roots that have been in me since I was a kid, since my mom and dad toured when I was young. And so I started looking for that thing, and it took me a little while to find it, but I found it.
That's the thing. That is interesting to me, because it sounds like the transition, it couldn't have been a smooth one, because you've gone from, like it said, playing before that kind of number. I'm assuming that on these tours now, you're not getting 40,000 every night. Is that right?
Oh, man, that's a safe assumption. First off, it's Southern gospel music, and I don't know if we still have that many fans out there.
Oh, well, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
But I will say this. We love going to sing at big churches, and we love going to sing at small churches, and then we like them right down the middle. And when people come out to a place like that and they're excited about the music and they're ready to have a good time, and we pack out a little church, you know, if you got a little church that can't hold but 100 people and
right.
we squeeze 125 in there
yeah.
and we all have a good time, I'm telling you, man, that is a higher high than standing in front of 40,000 people.
That's amazing.
It really is. It really is amazing. It scratches that itch that I have to just be an artist and a singer and a performer, but the heart of it is a little different, and that's the thing that pulls me back. That ministry aspect is the part that always pulls me back.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a big night. It's at Thursday, October 6th at 7 p.m. at the Elmore United Methodist Church. That's next Thursday, and I'm talking again with Paul Secord. Before I let you go, you said you play a variety of different songs, a variety of different music, both with acoustic, a cappella, and all kinds of things. You mentioned that you guys, a couple of you write songs as well. Are you going to have some original music here too?
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll feature at least two or three songs that night that we've written. In fact, and I didn't give you a heads up on this right before I jumped on the air with you, I sent you our newest single, which is, man, it's a dynamite song, and it's a crossover song. It crosses over from country to gospel, and it's the featured single on our new album that just came out. And so we haven't done an official rollout release of this song yet, but that's mm-hmm. coming very, very soon. But I emailed it to you a few minutes ago, and man, it's dynamite, and it's getting people on their feet all across the country. And so we do have original music. You'll hear some old hymns. You'll hear some contemporary sounding, some contemporary gospel music, like stuff that you would hear on like CCM radio, or K-Love or something like that. You'll hear a couple songs that'll reflect that. And then, of course, those people that have loved the Blackwoods since the 30s when they started, they will also have a wonderful time at this program because we do some throwback stuff. We have one foot in that traditional side
right.
because those are our roots. That's how we got to where we are. But we're also looking ahead and looking to this next generation and trying to figure out how we can reach them and how we can share our music with them. So we do a little bit of both, and it's a wonderful, wonderful time. I've not been to a gospel concert quite like it. And so if you like country, if you like the traditional, and you like the new stuff that you would hear, then I think you'll have a wonderful night.
Well, I tell you what, I just found the MP3 on here that you sent me, and I'll let you go, but whenever we've got one more segment here with Russell and with Reverend Anderson, and whenever we come back, how about I play that for the audience, right?
Man, that would be great. We would absolutely love that. And that's just a little taste of what's to come. And that'll be one of our featured songs on Thursday night. When we
I'll Stand, right?
I'll Stand. That's the one.
Okay. Hey, Paul, I really appreciate your time this morning. And it sounds like it's going to be a big show.
Man, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time. Everybody come out, bring a friend. There's no charge, but we just want everybody to come out and have fun with us. We're going to sing songs. You can even sing along. We don't mind.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Paul. I appreciate your time. Have a great day.
All right. God bless you. Thanks a lot, buddy.
That's Paul Secord. I'm here with Russell Anderson from the Elmore United Methodist Church. We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words.
Sips the sweet September air and fights the tears back. They call his dad a hero, but that don't bring him back. He's gotta be strong for his mama, sing Amazing Grace, and there's determination written on his face. Old Glory crossed the casket, says 1,000 words, but stand tall, Billy. We're the only ones he heard. In the stillness of that morning, the saluting of the guns, he is proud to be called his father's son. But when he heard the words, "Be seated," from the preacher man, he said, "If you don't mind, sir, I think I'll stand."
I'll stand for the ones who went before us. I'll stand for those who took the fall. I'll stand for the heroes who answered the call. For the brave ones who gave it their all. Later, he knows that war is real. Takes a bullet for his country. He's got wounds that time won't heal. Doc says he'll be lucky if he ever walks again. But there's a medal waiting for him on the other end. Well, his wife and kids, they've never known a braver man. And they know he's in that chair because he took a stand. So I'll stand for the ones who went before us. I'll stand for those who took the fall. I'll stand for the heroes who answered the call. For the brave ones who gave it their all.
Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. That, of course, was we've been talking with Blackwood Legacy Paul Secord today, and that was I'll Stand from Blackwood Legacy. And I got to tell you, listening to that song, I'm here with Russell Anderson. He's the Reverend Russell Anderson from Ellenmore United Methodist Church. Listening to that, I got to tell you, that did not really sound all that contemporary Christian or, like, gospel-y. That kind of sounded more like some kind of a patriotic type of tune there.
Yes, it did.
Russell, didn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it did. Yeah, it's really good. Neat new song.
Yeah.
I get inspired by music of any type.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I was just sitting here thinking.
I was thinking, okay, you know, we've had the whole Colin Kaepernick thing during the last month.
Yes.
And yes. People not standing during the national anthem and stuff like that. And that basically, that song is almost a retort.
Our country is founded on religious beliefs. You can stand for your God, your country.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things you can stand for.
Sure.
And so music inspires people.
So I'm presuming, we can only make the presumption, but I think we'd be terrifically wrong if we thought that they weren't actually going to play that. You got to figure that they'll play that.
I have a feeling they will play. That's their new one. They're going to play that one. I bet they probably have a new CD that goes with it.
I suspect you might be right. I'm talking here with Russell Anderson. We've been talking about the Ellenmore United Methodist Church. They've got a non-denominational community event coming up on Thursday, October 6th. The Blackwood Legacy Quartet playing at that celebration, And you also have some stuff going on later that week. On you're going to be celebrating on the Sunday too. Is that right?
Yes.
What's going on then?
We're starting off with the gospel sing on Thursday, and then Sunday we're having our homecoming or slash anniversary, 115 uh-huh. years. That morning we are having worship as we always do on Sunday morning with Sunday school, and then our morning worship at 10:30. Then we're having lunch, so if you can come and eat lunch with us.
Nice.
And then after lunch we're having Aaron Anderson, which happens to be my son,
mm-hmm.
from Alney, Illinois, and his brother-in-law, Joe Goodman, are coming to sing, and we're going to share a good time then and also have a little bit of time that if you know something of Elmore, maybe some history or good memories that you have of the church, we're going to have some time where we can reflect on that also.
See, now that's cool. That's basically the homecoming part of it.
That is our homecoming part of it.
And that'll be a lot of fun. This is, of course, the day after the Fairfield homecoming. So it just kind of goes, like you said, Russell, just kind of goes hand in hand, doesn't it?
This is homecoming weekend in Fairfield, believe it or not. It's amazing.
We're talking about next weekend, October 6th and October 9th. And Russell, tell me a little bit before I let you go. What brought you into becoming a pastor? You ran a businesses beforehand, didn't you?
I've been in business all my life. I started at 19 years old making donuts. So
you ran
a lot of night hours.
The Anderson Bakery up there in Flora.
Yes,
that's
yes,
right.
Did that for many years. What brought me into the ministry was a call from God, much as Paul.
Like he said,
he had a moment that God tapped him on the shoulder and said, I have something else.
Was yours New Year's Eve too?
No, it wasn't. It took me 15 years to actually pay attention.
Well, I was going to say, at what point did you finally decide, oh, okay, I guess I better pick up the phone?
Yeah, it took me 15 years to pick up the phone, as you say. I kept putting it off, and though you've got to be talking to somebody else, as a lot of people do in the ministry. No, it can't be me you're talking to, God. I couldn't get up in front of people or talk, and I couldn't get on the radio and talk to people. I don't have the Bible background. I'm not the great, intelligent scholar that you're looking for. But God calls people to what gifts they do have. So that's what brought me to the ministry. And
how does one get into that a year at your age?
At my age?
Yeah. I mean, you're already past the time when you might have been going to college to...
I'm past the seminary age.
That's what... I'm not saying anything about how old you are, Russell. I'm just saying you're just past the seminary age.
I'm a little past the seminary age. Through the Methodist Church, they have what they call first is a licensing school. I call it boot camp for ministers.
Oh, okay.
We go for 10 days, but we have about 5 months of work in front of that we write papers, read books, and learn a lot of different things, not just Bible background, but a lot of different things of counseling and taking care of how to, like you said, people just always don't get along, how to deal with the church board and things like that. But by doing so, then the next 5 years, I will take 1 month every year for the next 5 years and go to / seminary for old people.
Yeah. Well, that's understandable.
So by doing that, at the end of that time, I will never be what you call ordained.
Uh-huh.
But through the Methodist Church, I will be called a local pastor.
I see.
And until I retire, I will have all the powers of an ordained minister. So I can...
Marrying people.
I can marry and bury
you. Marry and bury. There you go. There you go. What's your favorite part of the gig?
The favorite part of the gig, people.
Yeah. You've been doing it now for a couple of years, right?
I've been doing it for a couple of years.
The chance to get to meet people, or
it's amazing the relationships you get with people sitting down across the dinner table.
Yeah,
just amazing, and the relationships, the love that you get, and I love Fairfield. I've come down here. I've lived in Flora all my life, and Fairfield is a wonderful community.
Well, that's good.
I hope I stay here the rest of my life. How's that?
Well, you sound like you're set for now, huh?
I'm set for a few years, yes. But wonderful community, and I'd love to meet more of them. Everybody I've met in Fairfield is always very friendly. They're great people, great community.
Well, you know, if you could just keep the Florida basketball team from winning all the time. We'd us Fairfield people would appreciate that.
I think that's changed just a little bit.
The Bob Welch is gone, or Tom Welch is gone.
Tom Welch's days, retired now. Now we have the Leibs, and yeah. I think you'll
Phil
probably
does a pretty good job.
You'll
too.
Probably have Leib kids for the next 50 years.
That is exactly right. I don't, and they're really good too. Those Leib boys can play.
They multiply like rabbits.
I guess somebody has to. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today. We've been talking about the Blackwood Legacy coming to the Ellenmore United Methodist Church on Thursday, October 6th at 7 o'clock. You might want to check that out. Also, their 115th anniversary. Thanks very much for being on the show today,
Russell.
Thank
you. Thank you for having me.
Glad to do it. Hope you have a best of luck to you on the big weekend coming up next weekend.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Have a great day.